Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Everyone, I am Dr. Tommy Watson, and welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from adversity and failure to go and live the best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. If you want to learn how to tell and sell your story, go to tawatson.com under the programs and product page and click on Million Dollar Business to get yourself started. So folks, are you guys ready for another amazing show today? Joining me, I have the one and only Naz Mehknet. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Welcome to the show, Naz.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Out there in beautiful, sunny Southern California. So it's a pleasure to have you on here this morning.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so Naz, for our listening audience who may not necessarily know who you are, can you briefly introduce yourself and any latest? That's, you got big news. Big latest news. Yeah.
Yeah, my name is Naz Mehknet. I am a celebrity stylist in Los Angeles. But very, very new author as well. My book, 7,000 Miles to Freedom, was released on August 26th. So yeah, very excited for people to read the story and find out about my journey.
That is awesome. And congratulations on becoming an author. So that is a big thing. Yeah. So Naz, if people want to know how to get a hold of you, what's the best way to get in contact with you?
I have my website. Very simple, nazmehknet.com, my first name, my last name. And I'm on social media, Instagram, naz_mehknet. And you know, that's the best way to get a hold of me. I'm very active on social media, but especially Instagram. So naz_mehknet.
Awesome. Well, again, Naz, it's a pleasure and honor to have you here with us today. And as you know, our podcast really centers on bringing amazing people like you on and having you tell your story so our listening audience can kind of get sort of a blueprint in terms of how to get through any challenges they may be facing currently or things they've been through in the past or things that they may encounter in the future. So I want to start my first question, which is, what's been the biggest obstacle you've had to overcome personally and professionally?
You know, life is full of obstacles. You know, every day you throw something new at you. But I would say the biggest obstacle was actually getting to US, getting to America. That took a while from the time that I had to leave my country. I had to leave my homeland overnight. So from that time to the time to get here to the United States, there was a lot of obstacles, you know, a lot of hurdles that I had to go through. My whole family lived here and I was the only one stuck back home. Wow. Yeah, there is the book, you know, in the book I talk about, you know, what I had to go through to get here. So I would say the biggest obstacle probably was me transitioning and coming from leaving my country and getting to United States where my family was.
Right. And that country was Iran, am I correct?
Iran, yeah, yeah. Right. I lived there. I was born and raised there half of my life.
So tell us a little bit about what you were fleeing when you left Iran.
I was fleeing a lot of things. First of all, about 40.
I'm sorry. I meant fleeing. What were you running from? I'm sorry. What were you running?
Yes, I was running away from many things. But the most important thing, you know, a lot of people know that Iran went through a really big revolution in 1978, and the Islamic extremists took over the country. Wow. So growing up under, you know, that government, and then we went through 8 years of war. So the country was a war-torn country, and women don't have a lot of rights back home. Unfortunately, I got to in a very abusive relationship. I married my first boyfriend. And as I said, my whole family lived in the United States. I stayed behind because I got married and it went really, really bad. The relationship got very, very abusive. So I was, because women don't have any rights, I couldn't go anywhere to authorities or go get help anywhere, especially because, again, I was alone back home. Right. So I was running away from my abusive husband. I was running away from the government.
Yes.
If they knew that I was married and I was trying to leave the country, I would be in prison. So yeah, so I had to pack up and leave overnight.
That is so powerful. Naz, and I really appreciate your transparency and honesty about your story as well. You know, currently many of us are seeing things that are happening over in Afghanistan.
Yes.
The people that are trying to flee the country from there. Many of us as Americans don't necessarily know what that's like. Talk to us about the feelings that you had to endure emotionally as you were in this transition of dealing with the things that happened with your husband, but also fleeing your native country. Talk about the feelings that you had to deal with.
It's, you know, it's so heartbreaking, and it brings back so many memories, you know, watching, you know, women and girls and people of Afghanistan trying to like escape. Yeah. It brings back so many memories. I was only 4 years old when the revolution happened, so I don't remember exactly, you know, the atmosphere in the country. I remember bits and pieces of it. However, just I know how it feels growing up under a regime that's like dictatorship and they are tyrants and you have no rights and you can't say what you want, dress the way you want. You can't be who you are. You have to, you know, follow what the government asks you exactly a certain way to be, a certain way to dress. Any little thing can get you in trouble and you can be, you know, in jail. And your family might never hear from you where you are, what happened to you. So growing up in a country like that, you know, I empathize with those people. I'm really, really sad it's happening. And it brings back a lot of memories. So yeah, it's just, I know what they're going through.
Yeah. And again, I appreciate your honesty about that as well. So, you know, we hear about that, your transition coming from Iran to the U.S. Talk to us about some of the coping mechanisms, because again, even though you were leaving physically, though, you were still dealing with the emotional impact, all the after effects of the things that took place in the native country. Even though you were in a new country, those things were still there with you, though. So what were some of the coping mechanisms that you kind of used to kind of begin to get yourself to a place where you were able to want to be able to talk about your story and share with others?
Yeah, you know, getting here and living here, even though like I feel very lucky that my whole family was here, so I had, you know, that support system to rely on. I feel very lucky that I wasn't, when I eventually got here, obviously I went through my, you know, journey alone, but when I got here, my family was here to support me. I had to get used to this completely new world. You know, United States, it's so different from where I come from. The culture and, you know, everything, you name it, everything is a lot more similar to like European countries, just because geographically we're closer to Europe.
Sure.
Coming here was, first of all, a shock. I had to find my place in this country. I didn't know where I belonged. I didn't know what to do, where to go. And I was 23 years old when I got here. So it was just, you know, I wasn't a kid. I was already an adult. But as I say, you know, I'm very grateful my family was here. So I really relied on them. They rallied around me and they helped me to get used to this new environment and slowly find my place, you know, in this country. But it took a long time. It wasn't overnight. You know, I was not used to anything. I spoke English, but everything else was very foreign to me here. You know, making friends and, you know, at that age and getting used to a new lifestyle. I had to just start from zero. I went to college at age 28, just because I really didn't know where to start and what to do. Even, you know, with my family living here, I'm being, you know, familiar with, you know, how things work here. I just had to find my own place here. So it took me years to know where to start and where to go and what I want to do and who I want to be.
Yeah. Did you ever feel torn between the two countries?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, first few years, I want to say maybe the first 2 years was the hardest. And I had weak moments. I'm like, I miss my friends. I miss what I'm, you know, comfortable in and what's familiar. And I had like thoughts. I knew I was not going to do it, but I had these thoughts. What if I go back? What's going to happen? Then after like the second year, I was just like really was trying to find my place in this country. So I tried very hard to, you know, learn the American English, because we were taught British English back home. So yeah, kind of like become that person. I started making all friends that are all American. I listened to music that was American. I just watched hours and hours of TV. I just felt like I need to, you know, become more familiar with everything, this environment, as fast as I could, if I wanted to. I just felt like I'm starting very late. So I needed to just hurry up and get there. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really follow my own culture and my own people and, you know, my language and everything that, you know, especially in Los Angeles, there's so many Persians. There are a lot of Iranians that live here, but I disconnected with all that. The only people that I was in contact with were my immediate family, because I just felt like I need to find my place here. Mm-hmm. But it's been since I started writing the book that I just felt this pull. My heart is just, you know, just thinking everything, my friends, my high school friends, my friends back home, my culture, you know, the Persian music, the people, everything, just my heart started feeling a pull towards all that. And I've been starting to kind of go back. Now I feel like, you know, I found my place here. I'm comfortable. I know who I am. Mm-hmm. And it was just time for me to kind of like get in touch with my roots.
Yeah. That's a powerful place to be, Nas, and I appreciate you sharing that. You know, Nas, when you look back, you know, being in Iran in an abusive relationship and a government that's telling you that you can't do much as a female, in your darkest moment there, what made you say, no, there's something better for me out there? Because you could have easily just said, you know, hey, this is my future. It is what it is. I'm going to give into it. I'm not going to. But something in you said, no way, I got to do something different. What was it? Take us to the place. What was the
kept moving? To be honest, you know, I did stay in that relationship for a while because my father, my family and his family were not happy with us getting married. My dad was very old fashioned. The government doesn't let you even walk on the street with a man that you're not related to, whether, you know, it has to be your brother, your father. So it's everything is illegal. So everything was very difficult to wanting to be with the man that you loved. You know, that was a really bad decision as kids that we made that to get married. So once I got married and things got really bad, I just, you know, I was very young. So I was very afraid to tell my family because I'm like, I did something against their wishes and this is my life. I have to deal with this. And I did for a few years. But things got to the point that one night I was beaten so badly that the next morning I looked at myself in the mirror and all the cuts and bruises on my body. I just thought, I might not be here within the next few days. I don't know if I'm going to wake up tomorrow. I don't know if, you know, my life is going to end next week or the next day. If this was something that was happening every night. Wow. He became an alcoholic and he would just see nothing. So when I was at the point that I knew if I keep going and I don't speak up, I might die. Like my life was in danger.
Yeah.
It was just a matter of life or death.
Yes.
So that's, you know, been one of those nights. The next day when my sister called from California to check on me, I just lost it. Oh. And I finally talked about what was going on and what was happening because I was hiding it from them for a long time. So I finally told my sister and my life changed within 30 minutes. When I finally decided that, you know, making my dad disappointed and for him to be like, told you so, it's still easier on my family than them getting the news that I was dead. Right. So I had to decide which one. Should I just keep going and not say anything? And then putting my family through, you know, your daughter is not here anymore, your sister's gone, which one is harder on my family? Or just telling him I made a mistake and this is what I'm going through and I need help. Right. And that's the moment that I decided I need to say something.
Wow, that's a powerful moment. And kudos to you for reflecting and having the courage to take that step out to change your life as well. So as you look at this whole ordeal coming, you know, fleeing Iran, to come to the US, how would you say that all that kind of shaped you as a person?
You know, everything that I had to go through to get here and being the age I was, you know, I was going to college with 18-year-olds. I was 10 years, you know, older than everybody else. I had to, you know, start everything from scratch. And getting to US, I went through a lot of events happened between me leaving, you know, Iran to the time, till the time that I got here, a lot of things happened. And as a 22, 23 year old that has never left the country, I left the country before, maybe once with my parents. I've never been on a plane, you know, to have to deal with everything on your own all of a sudden. You're just dropped in the middle of chaos. Yeah. And you're like, you just have to deal with it all on your own. I think it made me very tough, to be honest. It made me very strong mentally to be able to deal with whatever's thrown my way. Sure, so sure. When I had to start from the beginning and when I decided that I want to be in the fashion industry and I want to be a stylist, again, everybody was way ahead on me, way younger than me. And I had to intern for people who were maybe like 10 years, 15 years younger than me.
Sure.
You know, so I had to like go through all that. But I always remembered and I reminded myself, remember where you came from, remember the conditions, just be grateful. Nobody cares if you're older, just do it. So it just kind of like made me mentally very strong to be able to deal with whatever that was going to happen and, you know, just deal with it.
Yeah, made you definitely more resilient, didn't it? Yeah. So, you know, as you look back today on your journey, would there be anything you would do differently at all?
Yes, of course. Okay. I know a lot of people say, no, you know, I wouldn't be who I am. Yes. But I agree, you know, the you know, troubles that we go through, you know, everything that we deal with, it does make us who we are. Mm-hmm. Maybe I wouldn't be this strong if I didn't go through everything. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I wish I listened to my family. I wish I listened to my dad and I didn't marry that man. I really do, because if I didn't, then I would have left right after high school and joined my siblings here. I could start my life sooner, you know, the life that I have here. It's not easy to be a very young, you know, I started dating this man when I was 16. I married him when I was 19. So I look at my nieces and I'm like, oh my God, if anybody like put a finger on these girls, I like want to kill them. I can't stand the thought of anybody like abusing. Doesn't have to be my niece, just it's a very sensitive subject for me right now, that why women have to go through this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, thinking to, you know, back then and everything that I was going through alone and not talking about it and nobody knew, I shouldn't have to go through that. And it was my own mistake. It was nobody's fault. It was my own mistake, even though the circumstances kind of like pushed me towards that. You know, sometimes I think if the government wasn't like that, or if my dad wasn't so old fashioned and dating was okay with him, maybe I wouldn't. And maybe I wouldn't. I wouldn't have, you know, made the decision to marry this man and get in a relationship that's so abusive. But I wish I listened to my dad. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's hard when you're 19 to understand where your parents come from.
Absolutely.
But now that I'm older and I have younger nieces and nephews, and I'm like, I completely get where they were coming from. I understand that now.
Absolutely. Well, that's great insights. I really appreciate you sharing that as well. So, you know, Nas, we're coming off of a very tough year for a lot of people. You know, there are people who have lost material possessions, lost finances, lost loved ones, and even in some situations, now as they've lost hope.
Yes.
What words of advice can you give those folks out there listening who are struggling with trying to find out, wondering if tomorrow's going to be a better day? What words of advice can you give them to let them know that a better day is to come?
You know, I've been there. I've been there. I've had dark days where, you know, you're alone, nobody's around, and you are just going through day after day after day, and you just hit that wall and it seems like no doors are going to open. You're trying so hard and nothing is changing. I've been there. And I've always been somebody who I'm a dreamer, and I've always, you know, try to make myself remember that what's waiting for me, whether it's going to be tomorrow or a year from now, it's better than the current situation I'm in. It can't get any worse than that. You know, when you're in that dark place, when you are like really going through it, you just have to understand everything is temporary. Nothing is forever. So at some point, it's going to change. And if you're in a really dark place, if you're going through it, what's, you know, on the other side cannot be worse than what you're going through right now. So just hang on one more day, just be persistent. That's what got me here. Yeah. I'm a very stubborn person and I'm persistent. So even those days that's like, it was hard and I wanted to give up, I had to convince myself, just hold on one more day. Yes. It will change. There's no way it can stay like this forever.
That's right. Great advice, Naz. Naz Mehnaat, hope you guys are inspired by our story. Again, Naz, what's the name of your book and where can people find it?
The book is called 7,000 Miles to Freedom. And you can order it on Amazon or on Barnes & Noble website.
Okay. And what if people want to follow you, what's the best way to do that?
They can find me on Instagram, Naz, N-A-Z underscore Mehnaat, M-E-K-N-A-T.
Awesome. So folks, reach out to her, get the book, follow her. Amazing story, amazing human being. Hey, Naz, we talked about some tough stuff. Are you ready to have a little fun?
Yes, let's do it.
All right, here we go. This portion of our show is called our rapid fire purpose questions. I'm going to ask you some questions about purpose. I'm not going to elaborate on them. I want you to give me and the audience your best answer.
Okay. Ready? Ready. All right,
here we go. Naz, tell us about how you have turned a dream into reality.
Working on it very hard and being very, very persistent. I don't give up. I just keep going and going and going till it actually happens.
I love it. What gives your life meaning?
What gives my life meaning at this point is sharing my story. I finally got to the point that sharing my story was more important than protecting my privacy.
Absolutely.
And once I started doing that, I felt like even if it's very cliche, I know everybody says it, but if one little girl, one woman in a country is stuck in a situation that's similar to mine and reads my book or hears my message, and I can make that person go, if she did it, I can do it too. That's all I need.
Awesome. I love it. What one word best describes you?
Stubborn.
There you go, plain and simple, right? I love it. What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Playing soccer on the street with the boys.
Really? Okay. Soccer. Yes. Okay, I bet you beat a lot of those guys in you. Yeah. What do you wish you had more time to do?
Spending time with my family.
Sure.
That's awesome. Yeah.
What did your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now?
My 15-year-old self, I was very much into movies, and I love the magic of movies. Yeah. Everything about movie and TV, I was fascinated with. So I definitely thought I'm going to end up doing something, you know, in the entertainment industry.
Awesome. Who inspires you the most?
My sister.
Mm.
My sister inspires me the most. She's the reason I'm here. She's the reason I'm alive. She's the reason that I got to where I am today. So she's definitely my hero and my inspiration. She is a very strong person.
What was her name?
Her name is Roya.
Roya. Shout out to Roya. There you go. Awesome. What's something about yourself that we might be surprised to learn about you?
You know, honestly, a lot of people don't know my backstory. So I think that's the most surprising thing to everybody that knows me, because, you know, being a celebrity stylist in Los Angeles, and especially, you know, on social media, obviously you just, you know, a lot of people just share happy moments, you know. Right. So for me to share, you know, with my celebrity clients, going to events and this and that, a lot of people are surprised to know I had a really hard past. And what I went through with domestic abuse, with immigration, with, you know, troubles I got into with the government growing up, you know, my past is very surprising to people.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. What's something you'll spend your time doing no matter what?
No matter what, visualizing. I visualize a lot. So no matter where I am or what's going on, you know, that puts me in a better mood. That gives me hope. Yeah. And as I said, I've always been a dreamer as a kid. My imagination always was running wild, but I still practice it because I feel like I imagine the life I have right now. So that's something that I always do.
Yeah, I love it. Great response. Great answer there. Yeah. What do you want your grandchildren to say about you?
Well, I don't have children. I'm 47 years old, so I'm not going to have children. But my nieces and nephews are like my own children. So their kids, I just want them to know, you know, whatever they want, they can have. The one thing that I tell people is that you have no idea the resources you have in this country. Unless you've lived somewhere where I lived, you don't understand the freedom and the opportunities you can do. When they say you can do and be anything, it's really true. That's why everybody from all over the world really wants to make it here in America, just because you decide who you want to be and what you want to do. You can do it. I started so late. I didn't even, you know, go to high school here. I went to college at age 28, and I'm still where I really always dreamed of being. So if you're born here, if you're raised here, if you move here when you were 2 years old, there are limitless ways for you to make it and be who you want to be.
Yes.
Go awesome. For it.
Awesome. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
My superpower, oh my gosh, good question. Probably flying. I would love to go back home and see, you know, my friends and my country. I haven't been back after like 24, 25 years. Mm. And obviously after the book came out, there's no way I can go back because I talk about the government a lot. Wow. So yeah, I would love to just, you know, fly and go see how my country looks like these days.
Absolutely. Love it. What sparks your creativity?
People, mm-hmm. Honestly, people, regular everyday people. When I go out and I just people watch, you know, just listening to everybody's stories, where they came from, you know, what their backstory is, they inspire me.
Yes, I love it. Yeah. If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
You know, since we are, you know, it's a very timely matter, I'm very into, you know, women's right and protecting it. And with the law passing in Texas with the abortion law, I would definitely reverse that and give that power to women. It's their body, it's their decision. Yes. That's the first thing I would change.
Yes, you have a lot of folks that be getting your giving you your vote out there as well. Good answer. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
If I could follow somebody for a day, dead or alive?
Either.
Probably Gandhi. I really want to know, you know, what makes a man that's not coming from a lot of wealth.
Yeah.
Maybe like wealth of wisdom, but not, you know, material wealth. And being so kind and being so wise and being so generous. What makes that man the way he was?
Yeah, I think that would be a great, great answer. We would all want to know. What do you love to do for others?
Any kind of help I can give to others, that makes me very happy. You know, I'm a giver and I'm not talking about gifts. I like to take care of people. So anything I can do for any of my friends and family, I'm always the first to be there. I love to help people. And with my book, I'm just hoping it opens doors that I can help in a bigger way. You know, people that I might not know, but they're in a situation that I can help them. I would love to be able to do that.
Yes, yes. What's been the best gift someone's ever given you?
You know, I want to say the love of my family. Mm-hmm. The love and support of my family. I'm the youngest out of, you know, my siblings, and my age difference with them is a lot. It's not, you know, they're all 2 years apart. I have three siblings. They're all 2 years apart. And then 11, 9, and 7 years apart from each one of them. Holy wow. And yeah, being the youngest and getting the love and support to come here, to start over, to, you know, I just recently had a back surgery, and it's a very hard surgery. Just seeing how they all rally around me and try to help, take shifts and take turns to, you know, there's nothing like that.
Yes,
there's absolutely Nothing like that.
Oh, I love it. I love it. What's been the one thing you have never been afraid to do?
Be myself. Mm-hmm. Be myself. You know, I've always been, you know, when I was younger, as I said, like playing soccer on the street with the boys, that was my favorite thing to do, even though my friends, my girlfriends like to play with dolls and, you know, play house. I was on the street playing soccer with the boys. And even though they rejected me and they made fun of me, I was like, I'm going to do it. I love it. So yeah, being myself and doing what I love. It's sometimes scary to go against the grain and just do your own thing. I'm the only creative in my family. So I'm the one who decided I'm going to do something in the creative industry. Everybody has very secure jobs and education. And, you know, I always had to be me and do what's right for me.
Oh, I love it. We have so much in common. I love that. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
So people will read this in the book. When I was five years old, my mom shaved my head.
Really?
She took me to a barber shop and shaved all my hair off. There was this thing that my grandma and my mom always talked about, that the hair is going to grow back thicker and prettier. And I was so scared and sad. And once we got home, I'm like, it is what it is. I got to take advantage of the situation and do something. And again, I was a tomboy, so I changed my name to a boy's name.
Really?
I went on the street and I told the boys, I'm a boy and I'm going to play with them.
Really?
And that's actually where my journey playing soccer with the boys on the street started. So I'm really proud that I actually took ownership of what would happen, you know.
That is good.
5-year-old.
All right. You talk about
and just, through. Yeah, made the best out of it.
That is awesome. I love that. Great response. What does success look like for you?
What success is like for me?
What does success look like for you?
Honestly, success is being happy with who you are and where you are at life.
Yeah.
Success is, you know, having the things that you always wanted to be, not have, but wanting to be the person you wanted to be, achieve that and be happy with who you are. That's success.
Yeah. Well, what are you most grateful for?
My family.
Yes.
My family. I mean, I would not be here without them, without their love and support, you know. I'm very, very grateful for my family.
They are going to love hearing all this on the podcast.
Make sure you share. I hope so.
Absolutely. What's been the biggest lesson you have learned in life?
The biggest lesson I've learned is two things. First, and it makes more sense when people read the book. You don't just blindly trust whomever. You just, you know, you got to be careful with who you trust. And the second thing is persistent pace.
Yes.
If you are stubborn and a persistent person, if you want something, I promise you it will happen.
That's right. Oh, great, great lessons. I love it. I love it. And last but not least, Naz, how do you want to be remembered in history?
I want to remember as a kind person. That's very important to me. You know, to me, it's just like there's nothing like being kind to other people.
Yes.
You never know what somebody's going through, or just like myself, what somebody's backstory is. I've been judged a lot, you know. This image that I had when, you know, I moved to the States and started working in fashion and then moved to Los Angeles 8 years ago and started in the celebrity, you know, world. This image that everybody had of me was very different than who I actually am. And when I think back, I feel like, you know, people could have been kinder. But not everybody has to share their whole life story with you for you to feel that empathy and be a kind person and be a nice person. So I try to live every day to understand, you know, everybody's just fighting their own battles. just be kind, no matter what, just be kind.
Yes. Nas, you survived. Give yourself a round of applause.
Awesome. Thank you.
Folks out there, I hope you have been inspired by Nas Mehmet's story. Again, Nas, if people want to get your book, what is it called again?
7,000 Miles to Freedom.
Yes. And where can they find it?
They can find it on Amazon. You can order it on Amazon or barnesandnoble.com.
Awesome. And for the folks who want to follow you, what's the best way to follow you?
Instagram, Nas_Mehmet, M-E-K-N-A-T, at Instagram.
Awesome, folks. Get the book, follow her. You talk about amazing woman, amazing story. So Nas, last but not least, there are two things that this podcast centers on: purpose and resiliency. What last words can you leave our audience with around purpose and resiliency?
Whatever you think that is going to make your heart happy, as long as it doesn't hurt other people, go for it. I've learned in life that, you know, you can be or do anything that you want. A lot of people, the insecurities hold them back. A lot of people, their past hold them back. And, you know, there is absolutely nothing you can't do. There is absolutely nothing you can't do. One thing that got me to where I am today is that, you know, I'm repeating myself, I really didn't give up. You know, I heard so many no's. If the amount of no's I got before I got to the US, you know, if I was going to give up, nobody would have blamed me, because sure, I had that many closed doors. Wow. But I kept going, You know, just think about one more day. You don't need to think about one more year or one more month. Wow. Just think about one more day. And that will get you through the day. And tomorrow you will start over, but it will pay off. So definitely be persistent and don't give up.
That is awesome. Great advice. Folks out there, I hope you've been inspired by Nas Mehmet's story. If you are someone and you're an overcomer, we want to hear from you. Please go to tawatson.com, share your story with us. Subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. Download this episode, rate it, share with your folks on social media. And again, Nas, I want to thank you for joining me. Everyone else out there, peace and God bless everyone.
Yours truly.
Thank you so much. Thanks for
Dr. Watson.